This last deep dive of October 2022 is by Sanchez Macaro and colleagues, entitled Effects of a Combination of Citrus Flavones and Flavonones and Olive Polyphenols for the Reduction of Cardiovascular Disease Risk, an Exploratory, Randomized, Double-Blind, Placebo-Controlled Study in Healthy Subjects, published in Nutrients in May 2020. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. The potential for polyphenol compounds to be beneficial for cardiovascular health goes all the way back to the Seven Countries study, in which flavonoids were independently associated with lower risk of coronary heart disease over 25 years. Polyphenols are a family of compounds with diverse chemical structures, and flavonoids constitute the major source of polyphenols in the human diet, primarily from fruits, fruit juices, teas, red wine, and vegetables. Flavonoids may have multiple different configurations, each identified as a different subclass within the family of flavonoids. While our mechanistic understanding of the bioavailability and bioactivity of these compounds continues to develop, human intervention trials are also demonstrating improvements in cardiovascular disease risk factors. In a previous deep dive, we covered the COSMOS trial, which showed a 10% lower risk of all cardiovascular disease events and 27% lower risk of cardiovascular disease death from a cocoflavanol supplement. Thus, there may be some promise for flavonoids and cardiovascular disease risk. But what of the potential for other flavonoid compounds? The present study investigated the effects of a supplement containing citrus flavonones and flavones and olive oil polyphenols. Geekbox: effects of flavonoids on the cardiovascular system. In previous deep dives where we have focused on flavonoids in the brain, we've discussed three main mechanisms of action identified for flavonoids. One, stimulation of pathways associated with learning and memory. Two, resolving inflammation. And three, improving cerebrovascular blood flow. But in nutrition research, there are strong common themes between what is good for the head and good for the heart. And so it is with flavonoids. As it turns out, that the effects of flavonoids on vascular function and inflammation are also crucial to the cardiovascular effects of these compounds. Let's start with vascular function and endothelial function in particular. The endothelium lines the insides of blood vessels, and endothelial cells release various signals to regulate blood vessel constriction and dilation, blood clotting, and immune responses. Flavonoids act by increasing expression of an enzyme called endothelial nitric oxide synthase, or ENOS, which enhances vascular dilation and therefore lowers blood pressure. Flavonoids also inhibit inflammatory pathways that influence endothelial inflammation and immune responses. One notable effect of flavonoids in relation to the inflammatory immune effects on the vascular system is to inhibit the adhesion of monocytes, a type of white blood cell, to the endothelium during inflammation and immune responses. There is also some evidence that flavonoids may lower the susceptibility of LDL to oxidation, which is a critical step in the development of plaque in the arteries. However, in terms of strength of evidence, it would be the vascular effects of flavonoids that are, at this point, likely to explain in part the cardiovascular benefits associated with these compounds, observed both in epidemiology and intervention studies. The study. The present study was conducted using a randomized, parallel, double-blind, placebo-controlled design. The intervention group were given a mixed polyphenol supplement derived from combinations of grapefruit extracts, bitter orange immature fruit extracts, and olive leaf extracts. The placebo consisted of maltodextrin, a sugar. The supplement consisted of the following: 250 to 300 milligrams of citrus flavonones, 175 to 200 milligrams of citrus flavones, and 85 to 90 milligrams of olive polyphenols. The duration of the study was 8 weeks. Capsules were taken in the morning and again 12 hours later in the evening. Measures were taken at baseline and again after 8 weeks, and changes after 8 weeks were compared to baseline in each group, known as within-group differences, and the magnitude of change after 8 weeks compared between groups, known as between group differences. Compliance was assessed by counting returned supplement and placebo capsules from the respective containers provided to the participants. The primary outcome was flow-mediated vasodilation, or FMD, as a measure of endothelial function. More on this will be discussed under key characteristic in the section below. Secondary outcomes included blood cholesterol, blood pressure, oxidative stress biomarkers, and inflammatory biomarkers. Results. Of 110 participants that were randomized, 55 in each group, 96 completed the study. 51 participants completed the supplement intervention, 27 male, 24 female, with an average age of 47 years. And 45 participants completed the placebo group, 26 men, 19 women, with an average age of 51. Primary outcome, flow-mediated dilation. The supplement increased FMD from 6.73% to 9.77%, while the placebo increased FMD by 0.5%. Compared to the placebo group, FMD differed significantly by 2.51% in favor of the intervention group. Secondary outcomes, systolic and diastolic blood pressure. In the supplement group, systolic and diastolic blood pressure decreased by 4.89 and 2.49 mercury millimeters, respectively, while in the placebo group, systolic blood pressure decreased by 1.98 and diastolic blood pressure increased by 1.12 mercury millimeters, respectively. Thus, the between group differences for systolic and diastolic blood pressure were 2.91 and 3.61 mercury millimeters, respectively, in favor of the intervention group. Blood cholesterol. Total and LDL cholesterol decreased by 13.57 milligrams per deciliter and 8.80 milligram per deciliter, respectively, in the supplement group. While in the placebo group, total and LDL cholesterol increased by 6.38 milligrams per deciliter and 1.11 milligram per deciliter, respectively. Thus, the between group differences for total and LDL cholesterol were 19.95 milligram per deciliter and 9.91 milligram per deciliter, respectively, in favor of the intervention group. Inflammatory markers. Interleukin-6 decreased by 0.5 picograms per milliliter, while in the placebo group, interleukin-6 increased by 0.14 picograms per milliliter. Thus, the between group differences for interleukin-6 differed by 0.71 picogram per milliliter in favor of the intervention group. Critical breakdown. Pros. The study had a strong design as a randomized parallel double-blind placebo-controlled trial. Randomization was computer-generated and conducted by a researcher not involved in the study. The trial was pre-registered at clinicaltrials.gov, and there do not appear to be any major deviations from the protocol as registered. Although the study was not actually registered until 2018 and the trial began in 2016, this could leave a few open questions. The study group overall was well balanced for sex, and the sample size was decent for an exploratory trial of this type, albeit still small overall. Cons. No power calculation appears to have been conducted, although the authors state that the intervention was an exploratory trial, so this can be forgiven, i.e., the data from this trial can be used for a power calculation for future, larger studies. With 14 dropouts and an imbalance of 51 to 45 participants between intervention and control groups, the statistical analysis should have used the intention to treat method. Where data from dropouts is included in the analysis using their last data point from the study. Instead, the data was analyzed using a per protocol approach, which only includes the data of participants who completed the study according to which intervention they were originally allocated to, and may introduce bias. Flow-mediated dilation shows variation over the course of the menstrual cycle, and cycle phase of the female participants in this study was not considered, potentially introducing some variability into the before-after results for the primary outcome. There was no assessment of diet, which also may have influenced the outcome. Key characteristic. The key characteristic of the present study is the selection of flow-mediated vasodilation as the primary outcome, when this is often a secondary outcome in nutrition trials on cardiovascular risk factors, which commonly focus on blood cholesterol level and blood pressure as the main outcomes of interest. So, what is FMD and why is it relevant? FMD is a non-invasive method of assessing the reaction of the brachial artery to blood flow restriction. Ultrasound is used to determine changes in the diameter of the brachial artery after a blood pressure cuff is inflated on the arm to restrict blood flow. The ability of the brachial artery to vasodilate is dependent on the vascular endothelium releasing nitric oxide to expand the artery. In this way, FMD represents endothelial function, and impaired endothelial function is a critical factor in the processes of atherosclerosis. FMD is often represented as the percentage change in artery diameter, i.e. the greater the percentage change, the better, representing greater endothelial nitric oxide reactiveness. Such percentage changes correlate with meaningful reductions in cardiovascular disease risk. Meta-analyses indicate that for each 1% increase in brachial FMD, the risk of cardiovascular disease events may be up to 12 to 13% lower. There is, however, one caveat to bear in mind. The use of percentages for FMD has been questioned based on potentially overestimating effects in small arteries, such as the brachial artery. Thus, the magnitude of change in FMD of 3.04% in the intervention group may contain some measure of overestimation. Interesting finding. Sticking with a theme here, but the significant improvements in endothelial function as assessed by FMD warrant further comment as the main interesting finding of the present study. This is where adding pieces of the evidential puzzle together, i.e. multiple converging lines of evidence, is always important. On a mechanistic level, we have evidence that flavonoids increase expression of the enzyme endothelial nitric oxide synthase. And as we covered in a previous deep dive of longer-term cohort studies, flavonones and flavones were associated with modest reductions in heart disease risk. If we home in on the citrus flavonones and flavones that formed most of the flavonoids in the present study supplement, previous RCTs have shown increases in endothelial function and vasodilation from orange juice and its primary flavonone known as hesperidin. The fact that these effects were shown with isolated hesperidin suggests that the effect of this flavonone on endothelial function is direct and causal. Thus, although there is the potential for the actual magnitude of change in FMD in the present study to be overestimated, the wider literature lends confidence to the finding that the citrus flavonoid supplement was in fact causative of the improvement in endothelial function observed in this study, particularly considering that all of the cardiovascular risk outcomes were observed independent of weight loss or significant changes in body composition. Relevance. The present trial is a small exploratory study, and first and foremost, it is important to state that any interpretation of the findings should be hypothesis generating, i.e. requiring confirmation in larger studies. With that caveat, what of the potential of the findings in the present study? Even if we assume some overestimation in the 3.04 change percent in FMD observed with the intervention, the fact that meta-analysis indicate reductions in risk of cardiovascular disease events for just a 1% increase in flow-mediated dilation suggests that the effect of the polyphenol supplement in this study could yield meaningful reductions in, quote, hard endpoints. The most robust intervention trial to date specifically using a flavonoid-enriched supplement was the COSMOS trial, which we covered in a previous deep dive, but this trial focused specifically on cocoa flavanols. In order for a similar strength of evidence to be produced for citrus flavonoids, it would be necessary to conduct a longer-term trial. COSMOS average follow-up was 3.6 years. With cardiovascular disease events and or mortality as endpoints. This is, of course, where nutrition is often struggling to produce these drug trial-esque intervention trials. However, it is easier to achieve with a supplement than with food-based interventions. Until such a trial is conducted, however, we are left with inferences from short-term changes in intermediate risk factors for which we should be cautious against over-extrapolation. Some of the other findings are also interesting, particularly the reduction in interleukin-6. Targeting reductions in IL-6 specifically was an aim of the CANTOS trial, which showed that even participants below the baseline average interleukin-6 level of 1.6 picograms per milliliter had a 32% lower risk of major cardiovascular disease events. Participants in CANTOS were recruited deliberately to have high inflammatory markers, so are not comparable to the healthy participants in the present study. Nevertheless, the reduction observed in the present study may be clinically relevant. Overall, the study demonstrates improvements in a range of important cardiovascular disease risk factors, including modest reductions in LDL cholesterol, but as an exploratory study, the supplement used in the present trial will need to be shown to be as effective in a larger intervention, preferably with cardiovascular disease events as a primary endpoint. Application to practice. It is frustrating when the authors of a supplement intervention don't at least attempt to put the doses used in their study into a food-based context. Either way, it would be difficult to attain the levels of polyphenol compounds in the present study through food alone. For example, it would take around 100 milliliters of extra virgin olive oil to obtain 90 milligrams of olive oil polyphenols. And there is little chance of obtaining the relevant levels of citrus flavonones and flavones through food alone, although orange juices at doses of around 200 milliliters could provide some decent levels of around 40 milligrams of hesperidin. However, a constant theme for these campaigns is not necessarily that we need to whack the full dose in every day, but that a constant intake of a wide variety of polyphenol-rich foods is likely the best preventative bet for otherwise healthy people over time.